Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Welcome to episode 2 of the 2021-22 season. An action-packed month for the Rebels this month. Quite a lot to talk about and not all of it positive, chaps, is it?
No.
Highs and lows.
What, more lows than highs, I'd say, right now, as it feels after recording this after the FA Cup exit last night. I think what we'll do is we will play Adam's chat we had with him the other night, see what he had to say. We had this before our FA Cup exit, but we'll talk about that later on in the podcast. But welcome along to episode 2 of the 2021-22 season. And joining us right now is Adam Hinchelwood.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Summary of September, Adam, from my point of view, an underwhelming month. And I can't say disappointing because we've seen some good football, but a little bit underwhelming. Would you agree?
No, yeah, definitely. I thought the performance against Folkestone was very poor. And come out of nowhere, really. I thought a really good pre-season, bright, bubbly pre-season. And then to have such a lacklustre performance, it was bitterly disappointed to start it all off. And then, like, I think we've played some good stuff since then. Although maybe the point tally doesn't reflect that. And I think, like, it has been difficult, but I don't know if you know this, but literally every team we've played has either changed formation or halfway through the game changed formation to try and combat us. And I think that's going to take a bit to get used to as well. See a comment on one of the Facebook pages after Saturday's performance saying we played too much sideways backwards football, and ultimately we didn't score, and then casual set up and defend really deep behind the ball. So the only way to break them down is to sometimes go sideways and back and find the spaces, and that's how we play. I'd agree that it's been disappointing in terms of points. From pre-season we'd expect a lot more.
Yeah. With the pre-season, and obviously we had two brilliant results, didn't we, against Wigan and Tonbridge, teams from high leagues. Do you think there was a bit of complacency from the players that were going to their first game?
No, I just generally think that those teams come expecting to beat us, and now teams come to shut up shop and not get embarrassed. And that's ultimately what it is. And, you know, it's tough, and we've got to find a way to deal with it. But I honestly think it is that. I didn't think Cray would change. They won their first two games. And I think after playing us for 45 minutes, they thought we need to change and change to a back three to combat us. And then every team, like, that's why I don't really do scout reports now on opposition, because when they come here or when we play against them, they seem to change shape. And that's, I think, testament to how we play and how the sort of level that we've got to be that established for teams to do that. I knew Bognor wouldn't, and we had a lot of chances against them, and it could have been a different game. But yeah, certainly Cray halfway through the game changed to a back three. Folkestone set up with a back three and a real game plan. Bowers come with a game plan as well to stop us. And yeah, it's difficult, but yeah, like, we've got to find a way to and I just think it's that. I just think Welling and who else do we play pre-season? Tunbridge come with, like, just playing their way and just, like, we just give these a game of football and, you know, found that how we like to play and how we like to create space and stuff like that. And I think that's all it is, really. You know, whether, I don't know if that's an arrogant answer or not, really, but it's the one I believe in and what I've seen so far.
Yeah, it's nothing wrong with a bit of confidence.
So yeah, it's not probably not great, but yeah, it's a real kind of sign of respect, really, isn't it? That teams are turning up and just sitting back and setting up to try and nullify us.
Yeah, it is, and I think, like, when I first come to the club, we was completely different. We were setting up being hard to beat and hard to break down, and I think we took a few teams by surprise because they did come and attack us that first sort of season. And now it's completely sort of shifted. And like I say, it is a complete compliment, but ultimately, you know, we've got to find a way to combat it and be better and to still get results.
Yeah, we're that team now. Our target on our backs that everyone wants.
Yeah, definitely is that. You know, there's no question. We're a real scout now for teams, and like I say, I'm probably coming across really arrogant and ultra confident in. But it's just what I believe now, and I think it's just something that we've created. And you know, like I say, there's only one way to get through it, and that's to keep working hard and find ways to break teams down and ultimately score more goals and not concede as many, because that's what we're doing. And I think at the moment as well, like, there's a real, you go through periods where every mistake you make seems to get punished, and at the same time, like, you go through a barren spell going the other way as well, and we seem to be having both at the same time.
We're creating plenty of chances. That game's going to come where suddenly those chances start flying in.
Yeah, definitely. I remember we had this before where it was like this, and then we win and beat someone 8 at home, and I don't think we played done anything different. It was just a case Jesse's rocketed one in from like 25 yards, and
but
I think before that it was a similar sort of period where we was conceding cheap goals, we was creating lots of chances and not taking them, and you know, there was the same sort of thing I was getting from the fans, that someone's going to get an injury or a wallop sooner or later, and then it did come on that sort of Harlow game. But all we can do, like I said to Pete after the game, is just to continue to work hard, and that's going to be the key thing. I think when you are going through a little spell like this, it's important that everyone sticks together, everyone keeps working even harder, and I think I've got a group of players that will do that.
Well, you said every week, like that Bognor game, if that had been any other week, we'd have won 10-0.
I've watched the highlights 3 times, and
how we haven't scored.
You know, when the ball was squared to Ollie Pearce, we thought it was in on commentary, didn't we? Because it was like virtually an open goal. Defend to get back there and just get in there?
Yeah, it seems like one of them games. Probably 60-40, probably even 70-30 in Ollie's favour to tap into an open goal against his own team.
9 times out of 10 he would.
You know, and yeah, like I say, 9 times out of 10 he would. And like people said, why didn't Jesse shoot there? But then if he's keeper saves it, people say, why didn't he square it? You know, so it's one of those, I think. I think looking back on that game, like some of our decisions, I think one come to Tom Chalet, he could have squared it maybe to Ollie. And then, like, I'm looking at it because you're ultra critical and you can't do nothing wrong, can you, when you analyse the game back? You look at it and go, flipping it, it's a simple pass there, he can tap it in. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, I think, same for like Tom, I think he's done really well in the month. But his first start, I think it was in front of 2,000 people at home, and you know, I'm sure that was a nerve-wracking experience for him. Yeah. And maybe
we felt his first touch fail.
Yeah, failed a little bit, and it took him a while to get into the game a little bit. Yeah. And you know, you've got to take all those sort of factors into consideration as well. And but it's something that playing for this club, players have got to deal with real quickly. You know, playing in front of a fan base, and now the added pressure of winning games of football. You know, that's something that's been created over the last couple of seasons, and like I said to the players all the time, it's a privilege to have that kind of pressure to play football, knowing you have to win. It's what the top teams, you know, the top six in the Premier League, get that week in, week out, and I think it is a privilege to have that. That comes with hard work, and you have to earn that kind of reward to do that. So it's something that we've got.
Has it knocked their confidence at all, or do you feel that the morale in the changing rooms just as high as, you know, sort of pre-season, or do you think they're too?
Possibly knocked their confidence, but I think there's enough experience in the dressing room now for them to come through it. You know, it's not a young group no more. I think there's another lad, Alfie, was it, getting his 100 game black. You know, so you know, we can't keep on saying that these players now have played a lot of football at this level. And a squad that's predominantly, I'd say probably 60% of it, played a lot of games for this team as well and this club, and know what's expected. So, I don't think their confidence should be hindered too much. It's just a case of keep working hard and come through it. And I think, like, when you are having games like that, and obviously a mistake from H to go 1-0 down on Saturday after the defeat before, it can knock your confidence a little bit. But I think we grew into the game and created chances again. And it's just all you can do. I expect the players, if anything, to run and work harder now going through this spell than probably you would do, because that's the only way you can get through it. The least you can do, I think, the least this fans expect, if you are having a bit of a lull in confidence and anything, is for you to just give your all and everything out there. And I just felt the only game we probably come unstuck for that was Folkestone. I looked at their strikers coming off at the end, and they couldn't give no more, and it was like a cup final for them. And you know, I remind that of the players all the time, that we've got to be the ones that come off looking like that.
This goes back again, doesn't it? You know, opposition teams this season, it's almost like coming here, it's their cup final this season.
Definitely.
It's got to be.
You feel like these teams, there's an extra 10% coming out of these teams when they're coming.
100% there's going to be, I think, with everything. One is the scalp of Worthing now, and two, like, coming to a place like this and playing in front of a big crowd, it's going to lift, it's going to lift teams as well. Of course it will do, like any player, no matter what level, you enjoy those big games. And I'm sure, because we're the biggest supported in the league, you know, the first fixture they'll look at is Worthing away and go, oh, I can't wait to go and play there, because it's going to be a game in front of a big crowd. And you know, that is what it is, you know, and it's something that we've built upon as a club and everything over the last few years to get that kind of fan base and everything. And we can't use it, and us most certainly won't use it as any excuse on my behalf. It's just something that will happen and we've got to deal with. Like I say, we'll constantly just work to improve us as a team on the pitch and make sure we start putting in better performances that turn into points.
How much have we missed Cameron Sutton, Joel Colbran? They've been a bit of a miss the last few games, I feel. Cameron just got back into the scene, hadn't he?
Definitely. Obviously, you know, that both part of the win at Cray, and then we've had to change it. But that all said and done, I think, you know, Luke has come in and done well. You know, you couldn't exactly say, oh, he's done poor and he's been the reason. He's a good player. And that's what having a good squad's all about, I think. I don't think we can, you know, put it down to any sort of individuals that are missing. All alone, you know, that's not being disrespectful to John and Tutty. They're both, you know, valuable players to the squad as well, and good players. But I'd like to think one thing we have got is, like I said, the squad depth this year. You know, we sent Ty to get some games at Lancing, and the reports are he was probably arguably the best player on the pitch against Three Bridges on Saturday. So, it's what we want to get here is a good squad, and I think we've got that. But yeah, they're big misses, but most certainly won't use that as an excuse.
Talking about the squad, do you think you've got the squad for the season now? Or are you looking at adding anyone in the next sort of couple of months? Or is that sort of you happy with where the squad is?
No, I think we'd be stupid to not look to add if it comes available, if a player comes available that we like. And
Cashman, by any chance?
Yeah,
on loan. I heard he's doing crap at Rochdale, but I think he wants to come back down to South Coast.
Nice, Mr. Lone. But yeah, no, exactly. If that becomes available, then by course, you're going to step it up. And if other players become available that could be of interest to us, then we'd be stupid to turn it down. I think you've got to constantly look to improve, haven't you? And I think, you know, Alex Ferguson always said, didn't he tried to improve his team when they was doing well, and I think that's something I've tried to abide by really whenever we're doing well, to carry on improving what we've got. And if that's an option to do that, we've got a lot to do that.
Adds competition, stops complacency, I guess.
Definitely that. And I think, you know, that it might need a couple of players maybe to come in and a couple to go out on loan, maybe just to freshen it up a little bit again. And like I say, so I wouldn't be adverse to that happening if the right players become available.
Well, we saw it in like the season where we should have won the league with like Deschamps when he came in. He just sort of added that little, played Lewis, he was great for Lewis against us, and you got him and he just added that little spark that I think helps us along to sort of get those points. So, you know, a freshen up does help from time to time. It's something I guess you've got to keep an eye on. So.
Yeah, definitely. And if, like I say, if the players are available and within budget and we can make it work, then
So nothing on the pipeline now, but keep your eyes. I know Rebel, you're exclusive.
Exclusive.
Not yet. He's keeping his cards close to his chest right now.
So
we might see something in the next few weeks.
This review next month, we could be talking about new players.
Cool.
Who knows? And we could be an award-winning podcast as well by then.
Yeah.
I hope you voted.
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah.
And thanks to you, Adam, for being such a big part of it. Because without you, we probably wouldn't have got nominated.
No, definitely.
I think it's just another thing, you know, that the club's doing and like yourselves are doing, that it's just promoting the club and bringing it on to the next level.
Well, we enjoy doing it. We all like doing it, and we all like helping out and adding to the club. So, you know, long may it continue. And you never know, next month we could be an award-winning podcast.
Yeah.
If ever you're sitting in the stand in the first half, you can always do the commentary
at the same time.
Do you think that's a good idea?
Change things up. Let's get some more points on the ball.
Every team has a little blip, so let's hope there are little blips now and we boss the rest of the season.
It's a good view of the game.
Definitely.
Well, after him shouting at Jasper on the Bognor game when he was sitting up there and everyone heard it was one of those quiet moments. I don't think you want him on podcast, do you?
There we go. I just encourage him to go forward a little bit more. I think it's a bit slow to get forward.
Adam, thanks for it's been an enjoyable month, frustrating for us as fans, and I'm sure as you as a manager, but fingers crossed for the rest of September that we bossing away up the league by the end of it.
Hopefully.
Thanks, Adam.
No problem. Cheers.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
We sat down with him on, what was it, Monday night? I think if we'd sat down with him tonight, we may not have got such a cool, calm sort of review of the first few matches of the season, do you?
I think he was okay last night after the game. Obviously, he was really disappointed, but, you know, having to speak to him after, you know, I was worried about it because I thought he's going to be so
You didn't
angry.
Want to at one stage, did you?
I did, but you reminded me of my contract.
Yeah, because if everyone remembers, and Spencer, we've ribbed him about it so many times. Pete thought he'd get this nice little job doing interviews with Adam, 3 points every week. It'll be like a party. But I think he regrets that decision now.
It's into the lion's den, Pete.
No, I don't mind it. Adam's a nice chap, and he always gives us the time of day, even on this podcast, as you just heard. He came from home to specifically do it for us. And then we were chatting to him for another 15, 20 minutes after, and he was showing us stuff on the tactics board, and it was very interesting.
Yeah, it's fantastic with his time, and he's got the supporters at heart.
Before we talk about our sort of thoughts of the opening few games of the season, What do you think is going through Adam's head right now? Because he after the game, Spencer, you weren't there. Obviously, you had other commitments last night. But Pete and I, sitting in the sort of stand doing the commentary from King George's Field, we saw him go up to the fans behind the goal and apologise. And apparently he said, "This will change, count my words." What Pete, I know you spoke to him after the game, but what is really going through Adam's head right now? Because this is, he surely wasn't expecting this.
No, I don't think. I think the whole thing is the pre-season with the great results we had. I think it lulled everybody into a false sense of security. Not saying that from the management's point of view, but from a fan's point of view. And we thought, right, we should win this league quite easily, and it's not turning out that well. And I think, in a way, that Adam doesn't know his best 11 yet. I know it sounds a bit mad. We've got a big squad. We've got a big squad of players to keep happy. And that's difficult in itself. You know, with Premiership managers, they have the same problem, keeping a big squad happy. So I think there's some, my friend Matt said, he said, you know, maybe streamline the squad a little bit more and just have the, you know, some of the good youngsters we've got as backup.
Yeah, I agree. Spencer?
Yeah, no, you know, what Pete said, absolutely correct. You know, it's got such a depth of squad and, you know, he's tried different formations, and I think he just hasn't nailed, you know, what his best team is, what his best formation is. You know, there's an opportunity shouting out for somebody there at the moment with the, you know, the results, the way they're going. You know, if somebody can really pull something out, they're really going to cement themselves in this team. There's, you know, everyone's being given an opportunity, but if you're a player, you've got to be thinking, you know, if I can do something, I'm in, and I'm jumping ahead in of everyone else. Mm. You know, it's screaming for somebody to pull out that kind of performance.
What Pete quite said, like, quite rightly last night, and I have to agree, is that there seemed to be a distinct lack of someone in that gap between midfield and up front. There was just, balls were not being played well. They're being played out from the back too far. These balls from the back, and if you listen to commentary, and we've said about it, Pete laughs because I get so annoyed with some of the balls that come in out of the back, because it's kind of just booting it up the field. There's no sort of control for those balls. But Pete, you think there is a distinct gap, and is that gap bit the gap that's been left by Ricky going to Swindon?
I just found last night, well, you've got to remember, in the last two games against Bognor and Corinthians, the first game, we made so many chances. And it was like, well, you know, our day is going to come, we're going to hammer a team 6 or 7 nil. And then last night, we've come out with a 4-3-3 formation, and it's like it's changed the formation last night, and we didn't really make any chances last night or look dangerous. So I'd rather go back to the way the formation we was, get all the chances, because eventually the ball's going to find the net.
Yeah, this is the discussion we were having with Adam. You know, there's going to be a day where these chances, they're all going to go in. You know, we're creating lots of chances, we're hitting posts, we're just wired to keep us making saves. You know, on another day, they all go flying in, and it's a completely different result.
You're saying hitting posts?
Sometimes we think they're hitting the post, but they're actually hitting the wheels.
Hitting the wheels. Or also last night, like, it just summed up our luck when we nearly had a consolation own goal by Corinthians, and it hit the post. It beat the keeper, it hit the post. It just summed up the night. But let's go back to the opening day of August, an away journey we all took down to, Pete, how do I say it? Because I'm not going to say it again.
Folkestone.
There you go, or Folkestone, as I often say. We got there nice and early, no traffic. It felt like quite a quick journey. We were going in so confident off the back of that very strong pre-season, and a completely frustrating day in Kent, and a long journey home on a very silent bus on the way home, apart from Spence, who was being earwigged by Al constantly, like I was last night on the way back from Corinthians. But
Mr. Navigator,
directions. What do we think? Like, do we think they just were sort of too confident going into that game, or a bit of nerves? And what went wrong on that game? 3-1, folks, and we scored the first goal.
Yeah, Adam felt there was a bit of a tension in the players, didn't he? And he said he changed his mind from his interview and said, you know, I got it wrong in his I think it was his tactics. He said that he got it wrong, but that game. Yeah, we were four. We went ahead, and you thought, well, we're lucky to be ahead because we could have been 3 down at half time. And you thought, well, you know, just try and keep hold of that lead, and it just didn't happen. But Folkestone do look a big, strong outfit this season, I must admit.
Spencer, you were behind the goal
in
that game.
Yeah, and you know, we were quite encouraged early on, first 20 minutes. But yeah, it was just the team and the formation. You know, we'd gone through that pre-season with those results, playing certain players certain way, and it just changed and couldn't really get our head around it. But you know, big game for Folkestone, first game, you know, first game of the season for any team is always a big game. You know, it's a new season to look forward to. So, you know, whoever you're playing, that first game is always going to be tricky. But whereas Folkestone and what they've done previously, you know, and it was us and this is it. You see, we've just got that target on our back, haven't we? Everyone wants to play up against us.
It is. But then, you know, we look at it a week later, Spence, and it seemed that was a one-off blip because we thrash. Who was it again? It was who did we thrash? Bowers and Pitsy. We thrashed them 4-1. The first half.
But that's it. You see, the first half again wasn't great, and it was only really sort of the substitutions, the changes in the second half with, you know, Tom coming on and scoring a really good goal, and yeah, you know, but you know, it was a lot more encouraged. Perhaps that was a little bit of a forced storm. I don't know.
It was interesting because nothing against him. We wish him all the best and hope he recovers well. But when Alex Parsons went off injured, that seems to turn the game around in a weird state of affairs. Tom was brought on directly for Alex Parsons, who's out for a long time, bless him. And we wish him all the best. But that seemed to change the game. And whether they just pulled the fingers out or it was because of that slight change of tactic and personnel on the pitch, that's what it worked.
Yeah, something worked, something clicked.
Yeah, it's quite frustrating because, as we know, my friend Mattia, the famous Italian now in Worthing, he saw a really good performance this season, really, especially at home so far. But
getting back.
Yeah, he needs to come back, I think, because maybe he's Forza Worthing's away forward. But you chaps went to Cray the following weekend, and another tough expected lead touch fixture. We ended up being the victors. From what I heard from Pete's commentary and what you said, Spencer, is a good performance.
Yeah, it was a really good performance against another tough team. They were physical, you could say, if you're being kind. You know, hard team. They put men behind the ball. They were closing down, real high pressing game. We had to work really hard to break them down, get through and get the goals.
Yeah, their central defender could have been sent off twice in that first half.
What was that saying you used? What was it called? Lucky to be on the pitch, something.
Lucky to be on the pitch. I can't remember his name.
Whatever his name. But yeah, every time when I was listening on the way home from work, it was lucky to be on the pitch, blah, blah. it was quite entertaining. But Deshaun with a good winner, and we managed to see the result out. And, you know, two out of three, we thought going into that Bognor game, we got to beat them. And unfortunately, I think we were a bit cocky in that because I said we were going to win 4-0. Yeah.
It just didn't work out on the day. We had so much possession and created so many chances, and they hit us a couple of times on the counter. And
was it three attempts? They had two on target and two goals.
Just sucker punch, weren't it?
Yeah, something like that.
And as we said, literally just before they scored, Deshaun hit the side net and all the wheel, as Pete said, and that was it. If that gone in, I think a completely different game.
Small margins in football, as we all know.
Yeah,
small
margin. then it's tough because it's the lot from down the road.
Yeah, let's pause just there though, because just on a side note,
I don't think we should pause because we need to mention your meltdown.
No, we don't. We don't need to mention my meltdown, but we do not need. Don't give them any sort of victory on this podcast, Peter. They can have their internet memes and everything like that. They've got a Twitter meme last night called the commentator's mum. It goes, "Cheers, mate. Son's crying now." That's what their latest one is. Someone's done another meme. So I think I'm going to get a bit of stick all season, but hopefully we can show it to them, in December on Boxing Day. But what I wanted to say on that pause was, how good was it to see Woodside Road with over 2,000 people in?
It was busy, wasn't it?
Just a little bit.
Just a tad, yeah.
But this is a thing where I know that they have got mobile bars outside. They've got the facilities to do mobile bars. It's a shame they didn't set them up, because I know, Spencer, you came to see us at halftime and you even said you're not even bothering to go and get a pint because the queues were so long.
And I don't think I was the only one either.
Mm.
So, you know, you look at that and you just think, okay, the bar and everything's taking a really good taking. Because but you also, there are a lot of people, I'm sure, who...
Not bothering.
Yeah. Yeah, it's lost income, isn't it? But...
I've always said, think of the missed opportunity. Like, you know, you've seen it. I've been to, I think it was rugby at Twickenham, and they have the rucksacks with beer. You pay them. Okay, they could round it up to a fiver as cash, or they have a contactless card reader on them, and they just pour a pint out of a little funnel that runs down their arm sleeve. It'd be a brilliant idea.
Or just have a bottle bar.
Yeah. Bottle bar, just temporarily.
Literally, you can have a table outside with a bottle bar, and people, don't want to join a queue, just want to grab a bottle. That takes literally 10 seconds to serve somebody, have a bottle.
Imagine running down the tube, you know, past somebody's nice, big, hairy, sweaty armpit to serve you.
I don't think it's running actually through their armpit, Pete. I do think it might be inside a jacket. add extra flavour, that Bavarian goodness.
You must get warm.
I think another thing that slows down sort of how quickly people are served is, there's too much selection in the bar. I know it sounds silly.
Yeah.
But when somebody goes in and asks for, I have a pint of this, pint of that and that, you know, if they just had, I don't know, say Bud, and just had literally pre-poured pints, and people could go in and just go, yep, two of them.
Well, saying that, Spence, last night they had that at Corinthians and they then blimmin' sold out. you can't win, can you?
They're not used to a crowd, are they? But apparently then they
found a keg right at the end or something that they collected. But I mean, they could set bottle bars up in each corner, you know, give a volunteer give a volunteer an entry ticket to be running the bar. They'll be able to see the game from the angles in the corner. It'd be a really good idea just to alleviate some of that thing in the bar. But you know, we have got plans that we'll touch on later in the podcast about expanding the bar. But yeah, just all round a disappointing day at Bottle Bogging. And we Pete managed to prize Adam out of his office right at the end, sort of about an hour and a half after the game. And he did come out and you could tell he was gutted. But as we said to him, it's like, I'm not peed off, because the performance wasn't a bad performance. Yeah. We just couldn't hit the back of the net.
It's early days. There's a long way to go yet.
But as you know, we got told off for... calling the opposition's goalkeepers really good, because as we all know, Adam said, is it good or should our players be scoring? Because some of the things he saved were quite weak.
Yeah, I won't ask him that again.
No, don't mention that. But then it doesn't help when Pete runs over last night after Corinthians and interviews their player, manager, keeper in goal. He did do a good job.
he pulled off he didn't have as much work to do last night, but on Saturday.
Credit where credit's due.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of respect for Corinthians anyway, and him being the player manager, just for he deserves applaudits from a Worthing fan for their performance over two games.
Yeah, no, 100%. Credit where credit's due. Saturday, I think we should have won, but then I almost wish they'd stuck that ball in the back of net right at the end. If for people that were there, they literally could have prevented the replay, because there was a bit of ping pong right in front of the right in front of Harrison Mayle, and how that ball didn't go in the back of the net, and I almost wish it had, because it would have saved a wasted journey last night. Not that we were expecting a wasted journey, but again, it was quite painful last night, because the performance last night compared to Saturday's was completely different. As you said, Spencer, as you said, Pete, it was one of those performances where how we didn't win, I don't know. Because there was plenty of opportunity, but we just can't get the ball in the net. What is the reason we're not getting this ball in the net? Is it confidence?
I don't know, but the more we go on about it, then the more it's going to knock people's confidence, isn't it?
but we've got to sit here and analyse it. That's what we're here to do. Like, you know, we can't sit there and say, you know, we're not singling anyone out, but you know, there's plenty of players on the pitch that.
No, and last night I thought was the worst performance of the season all round.
Yeah, I'd say it's even worse than it was. Just even worse than. The first opening day of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd go as far as to say that, because we just didn't make any opportunities. And to be honest, if it wasn't for Harrison Mayle...
It would have been six.
Yeah, it could have been five or six.
We got a good keeper in that Harrison. We really have. I think he proved it last night, because to be fair to the man, he hasn't really been tested that much, has he? If you think about it.
I think that's going to be the story of this season, not just for us, but for everyone. it looks this season as if almost anybody can beat anybody. I find it hard at the minute to see there being a team that's going to be a kind of a runaway team. This is where I say, you know, it's a long season. There's going to be points gained and points lost everywhere throughout this league.
Well, as we said to Adam at the end, let's hope this is our blip now and we can build on this. And he has said there are possibly some players on the pipeline that we might be able to discuss next month when we talk to him. So who knows what will happen in the coming weeks. Do you think some after these results, I mean, obviously, as you said, but do you think we need some fresh blood, maybe even just to put pressure on the players that are already there so they don't get too complacent? Because some players have been brilliant, I think. I feel we missed Jasper last night. I think he's been standout. Harrison's been good. Yeah, Marvin has been great when he's been on the pitch.
Mr. Reliable.
I honestly think we've got the squad. We've got the depth. When Adam wants to make changes, he's got the players there he can bring in. There's competition every position. Apart from goalkeeper, you can maybe say, but there's plenty of competition in every position. If he wants to bring somebody in, change it, or keep somebody on their toes. I think that's already there. Like you said to us, if the right player comes up at the right time, then of course, he'll be looking. But I don't think it's anywhere near panic stations at the moment.
No. I think it's just because of the lack of football we've had. I think we're all expecting so much. And maybe we set ourselves up too high to be knocked down. Do you know what I mean?
This goes back to the pre-season. The expectations were just sky high after the pre-season we had. The performances, the scores, some of the goals we were scoring.
If you go back to the 1920 season, the null and void season, then
were you alive in 1920, mate? Oh, God, you've got a good memory.
But at the start of that season, it was the same sort of results. We were up and down it. And then I think it was after the 6-0 against Hornchurch that it all of a sudden it just sort of clicked into place after that. And we went on an amazing run.
A run, yeah.
And, so there's nothing stopping that happening again.
No.
I think there's something like that 6-0 result around the corner somewhere.
For us, hopefully.
The chances are there. I know last night was a different story, but
you even say at some point, Kev Gold said he, the manager of Corinthians, watched us against Bognor and said he can't believe we didn't smash him or something like that.
I think if fans of a lot of clubs have said exactly the same thing, to be honest.
Yeah, sorry, Spencer.
But then these clubs are turning up, to play us. And they're scouting us, or they know us. They don't want to be done over 4-5-0. So they're turning up and setting up to counter that. But then, that puts pressure on us. We need to do something, find something different. When teams are just happy to put, 10, 11 players behind the ball and say, there you go, what are you going to do?
Make those runs down the wing and get over the top of the back where they're setting up.
Yeah, but what happens is we end up committing too many players forward at times and then, a ball out of defence and all of a sudden they're on the counter again.
Get caught on the counter.
Yeah, Bognor second goal.
Yeah, and I wish we'd stop playing out from the back because it gets me too nervous.
I don't mind it. That's the way I like to see football played.
It's just when they pass it back, yeah. It's good for the heart, really, is it?
It's the modern way. It's keeping possession. It's to work the other team. If the other team are happy to sit, you need to work them and you need to move them around to create the spaces.
Cluffy said, if football was meant to be played in the sky, you'd have put a pitch up there.
Good old Cluffy. But, gents, all in all, hopefully a resurgence on Saturday against East Thurrock, Saturday coming, because that's going to be a big game. And I think that's going to be a game where we really, really need to turn things around. And just for not necessarily for the season, because the season's going south, well, it is going southward. But I'm saying in terms of just morale and get those players hyped up.
Yeah, just everyone get behind the boys. I know everyone will. Just get the atmosphere going in there. Just support the boys.
That's it. I think Saturday and Tuesday coming up are absolutely huge. If we can get 6 points from those games, then we've got the weekend off after that. So if we can go into that sort of mini break with two wins on the board, and if we do win those two games, then we're probably going to be, fourth or fifth in the league? And things aren't not so bad then, will they?
No, that's true. I think the thing with the cup, though, Pete, as we said, I know Adam really wanted a cup run, and obviously seeing teams like Marine last season playing Spurs in the third round, and it's the money at this level. That's what it is. It's the FA Cup compared to the trophy.
But then the footballing side is, if you do go deep into a cup competition, you end up, you know, playing three games in a week and that kind of thing towards the end of the season.
That's true.
Unless you start getting some postponements and things thrown in as well.
Oh, I just wanted to reach round one and get a few figures in the coffers and, you know, help with all the plans of the club.
Yeah. FA Trophy.
Yeah, FA Trophy. But
never run in the FA
Trophy. That'd be good. I mean, look what Hornchurch did last season. They were fantastic.
Hornchurch can do it.
Yeah, they were. So we have four fixtures, I think. We've already played one. We've got the 11th of September versus East Thurrock, 14th of September against Leatherhead, the Corinthians again, but in the league at home on the 25th, and the 28th against Merstham at home. So we've got three home fixtures and one away.
There's winnable games there on paper.
So we've got 12 points, guys. What are we saying? What do we reckon? Like, I've seen the performances. I know we'd like to say 12 out of 12, but what are you realistically saying? Eight? I'm saying eight.
I'll take nine.
You reckon nine?
I'll take 10.
Where are you dropping points, Spence?
Dare I say Corinthians? Just get this filled,
they're
our bogey team.
Yeah, they're the bogey team of the season. Pete, what's your draw then? What's your draw?
I'd love to say 12 points, but that's going to be overly confident. So if we're going to drop points anywhere, I'd say... who did we have away?
Leatherhead.
Leatherhead.
Yeah, but they haven't had a great start. I've changed my mind. I'm going 12 out of 12.
Yay.
Fair enough. Well, I'll say I've got a feeling we'll draw this. I think we'll draw this weekend against Thurrock. And I think we'll draw against Leatherhead. And I think then we could get two wins. But I don't think we're going to lose again, because I think the players will be kicked right up the backside by Adam last night.
A win Saturday could completely change everything.
But we all acting like it's the end of the world, and we've played four games and we've won two of them.
No, it's not, Pete. No, it's not at all.
In the league. So, you know,
Well, as we say, Pete, we've got to discuss what we've seen, really, and what we've seen at the moment isn't positive. We've got a long way to go.
90% of the other teams in this league would want and love to play the football we play.
Let's just hope we play the football we play for a few more net balls as well, and not in the side or the post. We were going to have a couple of players joining us tonight, but because of this cup run, guys, we've obviously we haven't had a chance to sit down with any players this month, which is a shame. But so thanks to Adam for joining us at the beginning of the podcast. And hopefully next month we'll have a lot happier, Adam. We might have some new players, as he says, and hopefully we'll have a couple of players to chat to anyway as the pod draws in. On to the part of the podcast now where we discuss our women's team. We'll hear from John Donoghue. Spencer wasn't available to interview Pete, neither was I. So his lovely wife Gina went down to Woodside Road to speak to John and Ella Newman. John will discuss sort of so far the season, the preparation for the season, and Ella's going to tell us a little bit about herself. So without further ado, I think we'll play those interviews and we'll be back in a little bit.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Welcome back to Rebel Yell. John Donoghue, how are you this evening?
I'm good, thank you. Looking forward to training.
Good. And have you noticed we've got a substitute in the room tonight?
Yes, better looking one.
Yeah. Gina, Spencer's wife, has joined us and she's going to be part of the ladies' podcast team, we hope. So, John, one game in, unfortunate defeat at Dartford. I heard it was a bit of an unlucky defeat, really.
I think in terms of the area, they were in our half and more than we were in theirs, but I don't think the quality of their possession was there. You know, they put the ball forward quite quickly and relied on a few knockdowns. Very strong physical side, but... I mean, they scored their second goal late on with a bit of a dubious penalty. And, I think in terms of the performance, I'm really pleased with the players.
Yeah, and the gelling, because obviously, like you said the last time, it was two halves of a team that you've had to gel together. Did it come to... Do you feel it came together that
There's
day?
None of that now. We're just one group of players, to be fair. It's not even thought about, to be honest. So the group as a whole is really strong together and... you know, I think that, like I say, the performances has been good and the commitment in training has been wonderful as well.
Okay, and you mentioned about Dartford in their second game.
Yeah, so Dartford obviously played the week later against Sault Dean, who would be one of the, I suppose, title contenders. And they also beat them as well, so they beat them 3-0. So it looks like Dartford are as strong as I believe they were. So in one way, that's quite good because... I thought they were a strong team and it was a very competitive and close game with us. So it shows that if they are one of the title contenders, we're not that far off, to be fair.
Okay, so it's sort of a month since we spoke to you because we did this Rebel Yell podcast once a month. Are you pleased generally with everything that you're seeing?
Yes, I am. It gave us an opportunity. We had to change a couple of things round on Sunday when we played, because a couple of players had the usual COVID positive test or had to isolate. So it gave an opportunity for other players, and you know, the performances were really, really good. So hopefully we're going to go into this weekend with only one player isolating. So we should have a strong squad. So we'll have the 12th and the 19th both at home. So it'd be nice to get some supporters down for those two games.
No, excellent. There's your shout out, fans. Please come down and support the women's team.
Yeah.
I know Gina's got a really important question for you.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got two questions, Pete. The first one is just thinking back to some of the pre-season stuff that we saw.
Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned before about having sort of two teams coming together, but actually, from what we saw, there's a team with a great deal of integrity, you know, a great deal of togetherness, felt like they were really working harmoniously.
Yeah.
What have you done off the pitch with those ladies to get them to that sort of really nicely gelled team?
To be honest, they motivate themselves. I think that they were keen to come to this club because of the fact that they were going to get the support, hopefully, on the pitch in terms of the coaching and the development there. So they've come with a great attitude, and we've not actually done an awful lot off the pitch. I think one of the big things was pre-season. We obviously had quite a few training sessions together. We had a variety of games, and I think they gelled together more because of the challenges we faced. Because the fact that we had so many games called off and we were changing games at late notice because of opposition dropping out with COVID, we had to play a boys' team. We had to play probably teams in a couple of divisions higher than we would have done. I think that actually brought a togetherness about the team.
Yeah, it's definitely noticeable from what we can see. And finally, very important question.
Yeah.
What is your favourite biscuit?
I think if you're going to have a biscuit to dunk, it's got to be something like a hobnob, chocolate hobnob. I think that's important to dunk. And actually, I quite like a custard cream, to be fair.
Very popular choice. Mm. Thank you.
No worries.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Right, it's time to welcome women's player Ella Newman to the Rebel Yell podcast.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
And Gina's still here with us. I'm very well. Very well, thank you. So just wanted to start, what got you into football in the first place?
So it was definitely because my family, like my brother would play football, and while he was training, and I'm like three and he's five, I think, you know, and they do like little kickers and stuff, I would just run on the pitch and join in. So they were like, let's just let her play. So then ever since then, I'd play with like boys teams, and then just kind of escalate from there.
And I understand you ended up at Brighton.
Yeah, I was at Brighton for a couple of years. That was really good. I really enjoyed that. But at the time, I guess it was a little bit too much because I was like 10 years old and we'd trained a lot. So I just thought I'd take a break and just play for a local team. And I did that for a while, and then I went to Lewis. That was a really good club. I really enjoyed it there. And then I ended up in America after that.
Right. And what was you doing in America?
On a football scholarship. So I was in Florida, playing football every day, going to uni, living the dream.
Living a dream. So obviously you're back here now.
Yeah.
So when you came back, did you go back to Lewis or?
Yeah, I actually initially went back to Lewis. I stayed there with their first team for like a good couple of months. Well, I'd say half a year. And then when we went into lockdown, just before we went into lockdown, I left to go to another club, but then lockdown happened.
Yeah.
So we just had like the last 6 weeks of that club, and then now I'm at Worthing.
Okay, and I understand when you was at Lewis, you did actually play in the first team in the actual championship.
Yeah, I did. So before I went to America, I got my debut, and then when I came back, I played in a couple of cup games. So yeah.
So it's one of the highest levels in the women's game.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
must be quite pleased with that one.
Yeah, I was really happy about it. I worked hard for it.
Yeah.
It just felt right to be there, I guess.
Yeah. And is that something you're going to attain to in the future?
Hopefully. I'd love to. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you're at Worthing. You're enjoying it?
Yeah, I am. I really like it. Everyone's so friendly because, like Chloe was saying in the last one, she was saying that she's like from the older half of the group. And like I'm in the newer part of the group, and it just feels like we've known each other for so long. We get along really well.
Yeah, which is obviously important for any team, isn't it? Yeah. So you've had that one game. Unfortunately, it was a defeat.
Yeah.
But as a team, was you generally pleased with the performance of the team and yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I think it made us more aware of how we need to play, because I think we started to play a little bit like them, like rushed, because we wasn't expecting it. But now we definitely know what we need to work on and like how we can improve. And I think we've got a really good chance at like going far in the league.
So obviously, what we've seen sort of from you and, well, sort of at pre-season, we've seen you sort of performing. You're an incredibly athletic player. Mm-hmm. What's your training like during the week? What sort of things do you get up to keep yourself sort of performing well?
Honestly, I just go to the gym quite a lot because I enjoy it and it like keeps your body like good to play. I used to run a lot, so that might help, but I mean, I don't run as much, but I go to the gym, so that like keeps it maintained.
Okay, so you're doing a lot of cardio work in the gym on a frequent basis. Yeah. That's great. And very important question for the Rebel Yell podcast.
Yep.
What is your favourite biscuit?
Rich Teas.
Rich Teas. Yeah. Even for dunking?
Yeah.
Risky, yeah. Risky.
Yeah, windy,
yeah.
And so we're sort of aware that a lot of our listeners probably haven't seen the women's team play. Mm-hmm. What reason would you give to some of our sort of men's team followers to come out and see you guys play here on a Sunday?
I think it's better than what they're expecting because I enjoy playing it. So if you see people enjoy playing it, surely you'd want to watch that. Because I know a lot of the fans for the men's team, they get involved. So I think that easily happen at the women's game.
Yeah, it is really visible that you guys go out there as a really close team and you enjoy what you're doing and you perform really well. And if anyone wants to sort of follow you and follow your journey on social media, what's the best platform? How can they reach out to you?
Definitely on Instagram. It's ella.newman_. And then also, if they want to follow the women's Instagram, it's like Worthing FC Women's, because I use that one as well.
Brilliant. That's great. Thank you.
Right.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Spencer, did I saw Gina after, but I think she enjoyed doing those interviews for you, and I think maybe we're going to give her the opportunity to be the women's correspondent for the podcast from now on. But she seemed to really enjoy doing them.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Pete, did she keep you on the leash for that night as well, so you didn't lead you astray?
Sorry, just wanted to talk about biscuits.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have joked, haven't we? Said this could be a new feature of the podcast where she just goes one day, just asks every player what their favourite biscuit is, Colton off garble, we'll record the sound clip, and then we'll put it in just randomly in the interview somewhere, randomly in the podcast.
Grabbing him after a game. Well,
Gina's biscuit talk. There we go. But yeah, good to hear. And, you know, unfortunately, due to COVID, the women's team haven't really been able to get underway because they've only had one match, which they unfortunately lost. The other two matches have been postponed due to COVID. So it must be quite frustrating for them, don't you? I mean, if you were the manager or one of the players, you'd be frustrated, wouldn't you?
Yeah, because you've done all the pre-season prep. And then when he comes down to it, they've had one game and they should have had three. But obviously, they've got a big one Sunday against Fulham at home. So if you're not doing anything Sunday afternoon, get down to Woodside and support the women's team.
Mm-hmm. They've been really really sort of prepared for it. And, you know, they're really looking forward to it. And the cancellations have been quite last minute as well, haven't you? They've noticed, because I think even the past one, it was literally, I think they tweeted about it in about 8:30 in the morning. And by sort of 10:30, they said, no, it's actually off. So, you know, the last minute cancellations isn't the best for everyone.
It isn't. And I think it was, I think it might have even been later than that on Sunday.
I think you're right, actually.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it was no, game's off. And fortunately, the women hadn't left for the game at that point, but they weren't far off leaving.
But then there's that cost. Is that cost of hiring the transport or, you know, even driving down there that could have been possibly avoided, or, you know, they might have had something.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a real shame because, you know, the pre-season games, they were looking really good. You know, some really big wins, some good performances. You know, on and off the pitch, my experience is, you know, that they're really coming together as a team under John. You know, John is quite an inspiring guy when you talk to him. So I can imagine what he's like sort of in the dressing room and training. So, you know, you'd want to play for him. So, yeah, it's a shame, you know, this sort of staggered, interrupted start, but hopefully they can get up and running as soon as possible.
A lot of
I think that's what I meant. Yeah. that's what made it difficult with recording. It was like, we haven't actually got a lot to talk about here.
Well, you managed something, which was good. You managed something. Yeah. So, but it's just one of those things. Like, you know, John, I know he's rearing at the bit to go. He is frustrating. I hope they get a full run of games this month because they just want to do it. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge for them. As when we spoke to Chloe in the last podcast and even John, he said, you know, they obviously, they want to survive. They've got that step up, you know, and if they're, as Chloe said, if we're in the top six at the end of the season, that would be a successful season. I think so. But there's not really much to talk about in terms of women tonight, but they are raring to go. Let's hope when we get to the next one they will have a full run of results. And
yeah, and just encourage everyone to get down there. It's a really good experience. Anyone hasn't been, it's a really fun atmosphere. It's really good for families and kids. I think you've seen interviews, you know, that, you know, you'd be really surprised by the quality of the football. Mm. It's much better. It's much. I'll hold my hands up. It's much better than I was expecting. You know, it's really quite impressive.
Spencer, your first game was that you'd seen of the women's team was that Charlton game, wasn't it? The friendly. You'd never been before.
Yeah. No. And I was really impressed.
It was enjoyable. Nice little setup. They're really nice little.
Really impressed, and considering the level that Charlton are at, you know, we're putting a really good performance.
Yeah, what was it, 2-1 in the end, I think? Was it 3-2? I think it was 3-2, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Worthing were winning 2-1 for a lot of the game, and then they sort of just fell apart a little bit at the end. But as we said to John after, what a way to sort of end the pre-season, and, you know, a great strong result against a team that, you know, some of those players will be playing professionally for Charlton this season, possibly next season, and we've held them sort of only to 3-2. Little old Worthing, eh?
Yeah. So get along and support the women's team.
I know, Pete, you're down there most weekends doing a tannoy, aren't you? So you'll be supporting the team down there.
Yeah, obviously go when I can and I'll help them out as much as I can.
Yeah, and play their playlist, which is their playlist now. So go, ladies, if you're listening, please put some more songs on there right now because we try and give Pete a hard time for it, but it's actually not Pete's playlist anymore, is it?
No, it's picked by Abby Critchfield.
We'll have to get them on the podcast to discuss their musical choices. Maybe we'll do a special Rebel Records Women's Edition one time this season.
They've changed the songs and they've given me an hour's worth of music, so that takes us up to 50 off. So that's fine by me.
Right. So it's a good atmosphere. And the bar is open, so go in the bar, get a drink, support the club. Maybe not as much you could do because the prices are high, but we'll save that for another time. £4.50 for a pint of Bud Light. Anyone listening, please review that because it's not worth that much. Anyway, that's a little sort of subject. But talking about the club and the clubhouse and the bar, there are plans in right now. Planning application is in to add another bar in the old fans bar where the boardroom is now. And the gym, and the gym's going to move out backwards. So an interesting proposal, gents. And, you know, speaking to Barry after the game, it could be from funding and stuff. There may be a little crowdfunder, but, you know, exciting times because obviously if we do go up the leagues, then we're going to need to have a lot more space. And we can see from the games on Saturday, Monday against Bognor, how when it is busy, it can be quite frustrating for the fan experience not to be able to get a beer or, you know, some toilets. So to have extra facilities, there's not really a way you could complain about, is there?
No,
it's making full use of the facilities that were already there, really, you know, so it's not like, you know, we're looking at new builds or anything like the new block we had to go through. It's converting a building that's already there. It's, and, you know, like you say, games like Bognor, you know, they do show, you know, the extra facilities. And it's really encouraging that the club are looking forwards like this. You know, they're planning for bigger, better things. You know, that can only be encouraging, you know. The club are looking at moving forwards. They are looking at moving up. They are looking at improving. Always looking at the next, you know, Barry in particular always seems to be looking at the next thing or even, you know, two steps ahead.
Yeah, well, that chat we had with him when we were waiting at the end of the game on Saturday against Corinthians, Spence, we were chatting to him about a good 20, 25 minutes and he was just talking
about his ideas and his thoughts and his plans.
It's not fair to say what he said right now because obviously we don't want to jeopardise it because we'd have to have the man on the line to do it. But, you know, some of the things he was saying and suggesting, you know, very exciting for the future of the club and, you know, things we might hit. The way I understood it, Spence, I'm not sure you said it, could be changes we could see in the next couple of years, depending on results and leagues. So, you know, it is exciting.
Yeah, all we can say to everyone listening is, you know, really have faith in what the club, what the board, what the management are doing. Just have faith.
And keep supporting the club, because obviously all the coppers you're putting in the club are going to pay for these new facilities and make match day experience a lot better.
Well, James, stop moaning about the bar prices then.
Yeah, as much as moaning about the bar prices.
You cannot call me out for that.
All of the bar profits are now going directly back into the club.
Because neither of you guys have ever said these prices are high. I mean, you said they're really fair, reasonable pricing, haven't you? Isn't that right, Pete? Or you do normally too far gone to remember how much you paid for that last pint?
Generally.
No. Yeah. There you go. No, that's it. I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully that planning application will be in. Whether it be that, whether it gets built this season, I don't know. Probably not with the way the world is right now. But you know, a good plan maybe for next summer. We've seen what the improvements and the funding's done already with the new pitch and new lights and crowdfunder bricks up by the tunnel. If you haven't seen them already, if you've already raised the money for the fundraiser, just little improvements.
New turnstiles, new outdoor bar.
Yep. Well, new turnstiles were used for the first time against Bognor, which is great. As you say, the new outdoor bar, you know, they've got more opportunity to do that. And we're seeing just small changes in and out of the ground all the time. And it's really good to see. And there's plenty more to come.
The other thing we need to mention tonight, James, is we've got the AGM on Monday.
Yeah, Pete's right. The AGMs. Chaps, Spencer and my first AGM. Is that right?
Yeah. Thanks to COVID.
Well, this is the AGM that should have been done about, 2 years ago? Or something like that. But the AGM for you that might be listening and thinking, it is for the Supporters Association. Pete, how much is it to join if they're not already a member?
£5.
And they can join on the night, can't they?
Yeah, they can join on the night if they want to come along.
And then we need to form a quorum of, was it about 25 members to have the actual AGM as it is, or something along those lines?
Yeah, and then basically if there's not...
Yeah, or those there can vote, don't we carry on?
Yeah, we can have a vote to say if there's not the numbers, we can carry on. But we encourage everyone who's part of the Supporters Association to come down and show their face. And didn't you say there was a Q&A as well, James?
Yeah, so Barry's going to be there, I believe. So
is Hinch going to be there
I'm not sure.
No.
I'm not going to commit him to it.
We won't commit to it. We're putting him on the line,
I'm not going to call him out on it here. But so the management team are giving an update anyways. It's really checked. Again, it's a really good chance to find out what's happening at the club, what plans are. There's Q&A sessions, so all of your
and
queries, questions.
The bar will be open, Spencer.
It will be.
I can have another £4.50 pint. No, that's the time to do it in front of Barry, in front of the question and answer. Because wasn't it after you guys spoke to him last month? He said he got away with that at the end of the podcast, and he thought he got away with it now, but we thought we'd mention on this one. He said to you guys after, he goes, phew, yeah. I got away with that. And what did he say, Pete?
No, because he said, oh, I got away with that one, Pete. I went, what do you mean? And he said, I expected you to ask about the bar prices.
So if Pete and Spencer didn't do their jobs properly last month, this is your chance to go down to the club and ask Barry yourself. And if you think we're being too weak on this podcast and not asking the tough questions, the moment is yours on Monday night from 7:30. Get down to club. This is Monday the 13th of September, if anyone's listening to it after. So don't turn up on a random Monday if you listen to this in 6 months.
Yeah,
time.
Monday the 13th. That's 2021 September. As well. 2021 listening next year.
You never know. Yeah, someone might have started listening to them next year. And then, hello there, another listener, welcome along. But you're a year too late. Yeah. But hopefully we'd have another AGM by then as well.
Yeah. You have to be a member of the Supporters Association, though. So like I say, you can join on the night if you're not already.
Yeah. And it's a fiver. I mean, we've kept the prices low this year because it is a fiver. It was, I think, what was it before? £8 a couple of seasons ago. We've dropped it down to £5 for everyone too. So it all goes into helping the club. Another thing that helps the club, we've got some limited run of old pitch frames. Spencer and Pete have got one. I hope you enjoyed them and like them. I think the feedback's been good so far. A bit of pitch. Pete's put his proudly above his toilet, haven't you?
Not yet, but he's got to go in the bathroom.
It'll be above.
Allowed to be in the lounge.
So they're £30. There's a limited run available. I think we've got about 8 left at the moment. There could be more, depends on how much I can get out of the frame, out of the pitch cuttings that I've got to squeeze every last one out of it. But that all goes back into the club. It's £30 payable to Amanda or Sarah on a match day, or contact us by email or social and we will be able to sort you out with one. But guys, we've got one last thing to end on, and we can't not talk about it. We've been nominated for an award, haven't we?
Have we?
Did you not know, Peter?
First I've heard of it.
It is. It was actually Pete. You're the one that found it, didn't you? And put us forward for a nomination. And something's obviously gone right somewhere because we have been nominated for the Football Content Awards Best Non-League Podcast. So thank you for those that have nominated us. And as Pete sort of looked out, we had to have had judges have listened to it. So we can't be that bad.
It's not just done on votes. It's actual judges.
So to get to the final 10, I think it is, we've had that. We can't afford to get to the final because I think they want 80 quid for a standing ticket or something. But if anyone wants to sponsor us to stand at the bar, maybe we'll wear a special T-shirt saying your name on it. But it's an honour and privilege. And it, as Pete said, the whole idea of it just to get our name out there. You know, it could help in the future with making the podcast better, you know, getting sort of more equipment or anything, or even the commentary services. But we all do it for love and the love of the club, and, you know, volunteer our time for it. And, you know, we enjoy doing it. It's not a chore at all. But, you know, to even be on this final list, it's a nice achievement.
Please vote for us.
So the address to vote is footballcontentawards.com/voting. You go to the non-league category and then you select Rebel Yell. And I think votes close on the 12th of September. So I think that's Sunday. You haven't got long left when this comes out. But if you haven't, please spread the word. Get as many.
Is there anything else? We seem to have more plugs than Screwfix this month.
Oh, that sounds a bit salty for this time of night, Spence. I'll make the most of it when we can. But we won't have to plug it if we win it next month. So just vote for it and that'll shut us up. Simples. Anyway, guys, let's hope for a few results and a run of wins for both the men's and women's teams. It's been a good to get together and discuss these results. And we'll see you next month for Rebel Yell. But for myself, James, Spencer and Pete, good night, everyone.
Yep. Good night.
And there's Gary's impression of a horse.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.